From the Warren County Radio Bible School, today we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of August the 15th, 1926. It's about Jethro's wise counsel, and you may want to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 18, and it's the minute I'm going to read from verses 13 through 17, 13 through 16, and then we're going to go back and forth between the reading and Elam's notes as we study this portion of the Bible. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read this text, Exodus chapter 18, 13 through 16. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand about thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and make them known the statutes of God and his laws." Now Elam writes that Jethro observed Moses' course. He then asked by way of suggestion, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people?" He also asked why Moses did all this alone. And Moses replied, "It's because the people come to him." Supposing the law had already been given, we can readily see that the people would want to know it in order to live and adjust their differences according to it. Moses was the mediator between them and God, and they wanted to know God's will in regard to their difficulties and in all other matters. With their matters, they went to Moses. He decided their cases and taught them the statutes of God and his laws. This is another reason for supposing Jethro's visit was after the statutes and laws had been given. Well, we read in verses 17 and 18 of Exodus chapter 18. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. The thing is too heavy. It'll surely wear thee away, both thou and the people that are with thee. Thou art able to perform it thyself alone." Having seen what Moses was doing, and having heard Moses' explanation, his father-in-law said, "The thing that thou doest is not good." That is, it's not the wisest and best course to pursue. The reason given is that they'd wear Moses away. That is, they would exhaust him. It was too heavy, and he wasn't able to perform it all alone. Besides, the people would have to wait so long for a decision that they too would be worn out. Such a course was impracticable. To this conclusion Moses came to. He reminded the people in Deuteronomy 1, 9-18, that he told them at the time God commanded them to leave Horeb, that he was not able to bear them himself alone, their cumbrance and burden and strife. Because God had so increased them, he then advised them to select wise men of understanding and known according to their tribes, to whom he would make known the laws. And they would be captains of thousands and captains of hundreds and captains of fifties and captains of people according to their tribes. He charged the judges at this time to judge righteously between a man and his brother and the sojourner, not to respect persons in judgment, to judge small and great, not to fear the face of man, for the judgment was God's. The cause which was too hard for the judges was carried to Moses. This was the advice Jethro gave Moses in the following verses. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and bring the causes to God. And thou shalt teach them the statutes and the laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge themselves, so it shall be easier for thyself, for they shall bear the burden with thee. Well, Jethro asked Moses to hear him and to accept his counsel. God be with thee shows that Jethro trusted God. It helps, too, that this advice was from God. The preceding sacrifices offered by Jethro to God impress the seriousness and importance of the advice. Verse 23 shows that counsel of Jethro was inspired, that he would not have Moses do anything not commanded by Jehovah. Moses was the mediator of the people and was for them to Godward. He carried their causes unto God. He was to teach the people the statutes and the laws. That's all the religious ceremonies and ordinances and all moral laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk. The revealed will of God and the work they must do. They must not only know the will of God, but diligently perform it. Even so now, faith without works is dead. And not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of God. But Moses should provide out of all the people to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. These were to be able men. That's men of prudence and discernment and discretion and courage and wisdom. Men who feared God. Pious men who would honor God and stand in awe of Him. Men of truth were men who loved truth and would judge according to truth and justice and without partiality. Men who hate unjust gain, that is, they would be without covetousness, never perverting judgment, never changing the will of God, never favoring the rich, never oppressing the poor, never taking a bribe. Suppose all officers of the civil law and all preachers and elders and all other teachers in the church today were free from the love of money and partiality. What changes there would be. Well, we read about God's order of work also in the New Testament. Just as Moses was instructed to appoint able, just, true, loving, God-fearing men, free from partiality and the love of money, so the apostles instructed the brethren at Jerusalem to look out from among themselves seven men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who they might appoint to look after the Grecian widows. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Just so Timothy was to commit the gospel to faithful men who were able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. The same instruction is given in regard to the qualifications of men to be appointed as elders. In 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 10. In Titus chapter 1, 5 through 11. When Paul found Timothy well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, he took him with him to preach. Acts 16, 1 through 3. If churches would follow God's instructions here, there would be more God-fearing, earnest, true, faithful, wise, and scriptural elders and preachers of the gospel and less of the opposite kind, and far less envy, bitterness, strife, contentions, and divisions. The churches, it seems, have abandoned God's way of making teachers, elders, and preachers, and they have abandoned His way of doing some other things. No man should be sent out to preach until he loves the truth in his heart. He's honest with God and the Word of God, with himself and with men, is just, generous, merciful, and hates iniquity, is free from the love of money, and is faithful and loyal to Christ. In other words, he needs to be scripturally qualified in character, as well as in knowledge of the will of God, to preach the gospel. Christ crucified is what he needs to preach, and not something else. So long as the popular way of making preachers continue, there will be strife and bitterness, error and division among the churches. Fearful responsibilities rest upon elders and preachers. This wise counsel of Jethro was really God's wise counsel through Jethro. Let me read Exodus 18, 23 and 24. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people also shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. Did you notice how that was worded? If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. This shows that this step was taken by inspiration, and all this must be done by God's discretion. If Moses was acting according to his own best judgment before this, he must now proceed according to God's commandments in the matter, as well as in other matters. Following this order, as God commands, Moses would be able to endure his work, and all the people would the sooner receive the adjustment of their differences and go to their place in peace. Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, appointed rulers as directed, and the character of the men specified. These men judged the people at all seasons, adjusting the smaller matters among themselves, and brought the hard causes to Moses. After this, Moses' father-in-law departed and went to his own land. But what about Hobab? Well, he must have gone with his father to visit Moses and must have remained after his father returned. Moses said to Hobab, "We are journeying to the place which Jehovah said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. But Jehovah hath spoken good concerning Israel," Numbers 10 and verse 29. Hobab at first declined the invitation. Moses became more urgent, stating in what ways Hobab could assist the Israelites, and promising again that Hobab would enjoy whatever good God would do to Israel. From also the Kenites, and some of the Kenites did go with the Israelites, and the children of Hobab are mentioned among them in Numbers 24 and verse 21, and also various places in the book of Judges. That brings this Sunday school lesson to a close, but there's a few rhymes here at the end I'd like to read. This by Philip Brooks. The little sharp vexations and the briars that catch and fret, why not take all to the Helper who has never failed us yet? Tell him about the heartache, and tell him the longings too, telling the baffled purpose when we scarce know what to do, then leaving all our weakness with the one divinely strong, forget that we bore the burden and carry away the song. And then the last rhyme, guard me for yet another day, for life is new with morning's ray, and foes are strange, untrod the way. Guard me through this, an unknown day. Be with us in our next class.